This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to iFanboys Talk Explode with Ryan Stegman. Hey, this is Josh Flanagan from iFanboy.com. Today I am talking to Marvel exclusive artist Ryan Stegman about his upcoming run on She-Hulk. We talk a lot about what it's like to break into the business, become a young artist with a Marvel exclusive contract, and all sorts of stuff. Stay tuned for a fun chat. I am here with Ryan Stegman. How are you doing today?
Good.
We are. Don't be nervous. You've a beautiful view.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We're here in New York. We're in your hotel room. This is not creepy at all.
No. Especially since we know each other from Twitter.
Yeah. We're Twitter friends.
Yeah.
So that's weird. I was thinking about it. I'm going somewhere to somebody's hotel room. I've never met him in real life. I've never spoken to him. I don't know what you look like.
Yeah. I'd like to go on record saying I would like to share a hotel room with all my followers on Twitter.
Fair enough. Now, recently you signed an exclusive deal with Marvel.
Right.
You're doing art for them. You're going to be doing She-Hulk's coming out in November?
November.
November with Harrison Wilcox?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how'd that come about? Are you a Hulk person, or is this like a new world?
I've been a fan of the Hulk, but I wasn't necessarily reading it right now. But I did catch up, obviously, to start this, but I guess it started when I did the backups with well, it was Harrison worked with Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
In television, and I think he was his assistant or something.
Yeah, and, I looked it up. He was Jeff Loeb's assistant. Sterling Gates was
Jeff John's assistant.
I used to live in L.A. I swear to God, I wrote a letter to both of those guys.
Really?
Like in the last like 8 or 9 years ago, I was like, "Hey, I read comics and I need a job. I'd like if you need an assistant." Both of those guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they both said no.
Yeah, I don't know how you get the job in the first
place. I don't, but I was like, "Oh, I thought of that. And it didn't work for me." Anyway.
Well, so I started doing the backups, and then I started getting emails from Jeff Loeb, which was pretty surreal, mm-hmm. you know, for me. And we just did the backups, and after they were done, Loeb actually kind of hinted at maybe some more work, but he didn't really say what it was, and my editor said that actually might be a little bit premature. We don't know if it's going to go through yet. And then I kind of found out what it was slowly over time, and then it just took a little while, and they got all the approvals, and then I started. So
now is this like your first ongoing like
first? Yes,
because you've done miniseries, right. You've done one shots and little runs.
I mean, I did like the magician thing that I did, which was a while ago. Was kind of, I mean, it was a lot of issues, but it wasn't really like Marvel proper. It was a novel adaptation, and. Yeah, so this is the other thing that I did in the main universe was the Hercules, and that was just kind of three fill-in mm-hmm. issues. So this is my first, you know.
So let us go back and then explore your, or where'd you come from? How'd you get your start in the industry? What was
Well, I just, you know, the website Digital Webbing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just post stuff on there when I was, you know, after I finished college, where I got an English degree. You know, which,
so it's nothing.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything else but draw. So I did that, and then I basically posted some samples, and I got contacted about doing an indie series called Midnight Kiss, which is how I met Paolo. And wait, I guess
it's okay. Paolo from Cadence Comics
is in the room also.
Who's the art dealer?
Right.
Which sounds more malevolent than it is.
Yeah. But I did this, so I got contacted by Tony Lee, who does, like, I think he writes for a lot of stuff for IDW.
He's Doctor Who right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had an indie series that he wanted me to do, and I started doing it. And mm-hmm. We did have a publisher, but, you know, things got a little dicey. But eventually the book came out, and I did 5 issues of that. And then from that I kind of piggybacked it into doing this book, Magician Apprentice, for the Dable Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Who, at the time that I started, like right when I started, Marvel actually bought them
mm-hmm.
and started publishing their novel adaptations, which was Magician Apprentice.
So like you became a Marvel published artist without meaning to.
Right, but it wasn't like I was really communicating with Marvel editors. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dable Brothers had their own people. It said Marvel on the cover, which was pretty neat, but it wasn't like I was getting, you know, paid like a Marvel artist or anything. And, but then what happened was the whole thing dissolved with the Dable Brothers, and Marvel took over the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I was under Mark Paniccia as my editor. And he kind of, I think he, you know, he, I don't know if he liked my stuff at first or if he was just okay with it. But after I finished Magician Apprentice, the first series, I don't know if I in my head, I still convinced myself that it was like a pity job
mm-hmm.
where he was like, well, he needs work because we finished this thing. So he gave me the Marvel Adventure Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I did 2 issues of that, and then I went back and did some more Magician Apprentice. And then by the time I finished the second series of Magician Apprentice, I think he actually started to, you know, want to give me more work. Mm-hmm. So then they gave me the Hercules fill-in, and then I think they saw some of the lady covers I was doing for Zenoscope and stuff, mm-hmm. and realized, oh, that's how he should be utilized. And
right.
So they started giving me female stuff.
So you were in school for English,
right?
And then like were you just working at like working a job doing something else? And
I worked in a stock room.
Worked in a stock room
at the mall.
Nice.
Did that for about 6 months, and then I lived in my parents' basement mm-hmm. for a couple years, and then. You know, was able to build my career from there.
And had you, like when did you decide, like, this is, I want to go make comics now, like...
Oh, when I was, like, 15.
Okay.
That was what I told everybody all along. Mm-hmm. It was just that I never was mature enough to make the decision, hey, this is how I have to go about it. And, you know, because I was young and mm-hmm. whatever, and everybody was going to Michigan State, all my friends were, so I went, you know. And then I kind of, about midway through, I started to think, well, if I want to draw comic books, what am I doing here? And then I, you know, I just liked English, mm-hmm. and I wanted to graduate, so I just started taking, just decided to finish out in that. And then afterwards, I kind of, you know, had no safety net and freaked out and realized I had to actually do it if I was going to do it, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when were you able to quit your job? I like this question. This is one of my favorite questions. When were you able to quit your job?
Well, when was I actually making a living doing comics is a better question. Because
okay.
I quit my job and lost like 30 pounds because I couldn't eat. So
Maybe I should know.
So I would say that I wasn't able to make a living until probably after the Dable Brothers thing kind of dissolved and Marvel took over. Mm-hmm. Then I was making, you know, a modest, you know.
You don't have to tell me what you made.
Yeah, no. But I was able to get by, and yeah, that was the first time. So mm-hmm. probably about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. Now, when you sort of look back at that work, do you think you've seen like, because you didn't go to school for any of this stuff right. or anything like that? Does that work still hold up for you? Or
no, absolutely not. No. I mean, I don't want to say that because people own these books, and I don't want sure. them to think that, you know. I mean, I put everything I had into them.
Gotcha.
But I would say that, I mean, there's some drawings that, you know, Paolo, who's in the room, likes to make fun of me about because I used to draw these, like, gigantic eyes, and I was trying all kinds of different styles. I mean, you can see, like, in Magician, like, it'll go from me drawing one way to all of a sudden I'm drawing realistic to back to cartoony to, you know, just trying to figure things out, and it does not hold up.
No.
But I mean, that's the case with any art. I mean,
I would hope so.
Like, anything I did 2 months ago, I can look at and be like, oh my God, like, why didn't I realize that?
You were really sort of learning on the job as you went.
Oh yeah.
I guess. Yes. And one of the things I notice is that, you know, if you look on Twitter, there's this huge community of artists and things that mm-hmm. are going on like that. Like, has that been like a big deal for you?
I really like it. I mean, I think that if Twitter would have existed when I was 15 years old, mm-hmm. there's nothing else I would have done. All I would have wanted to do was try and communicate with creators. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I loved doing that when the internet.
Then you would have been one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. which is why I try and communicate with everybody yeah. on there, because I know how I felt mm-hmm. and. There was early on when the internet, you know, started.
Way back.
Yeah. There used
phones
to be like
were the size of your hand.
Yeah, really. There was the Wizard.com had a chat room, mm-hmm. and sometimes creators would hang out there, and I just thought that was the greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And so now it's still cool. It's not the same feeling, but I do like it from the sense of when I'm working now. Something about Twitter makes you feel less
alone,
solitary.
Yeah,
yeah. So like, because I can get on there and see that other people are struggling and they're working at the same time that
I
am.
And that's one of the things that I notice is that, and especially artists tend to talk about craft more than mm-hmm. than like even the writers do. The writers will make, you know,
oh, yeah.
if you codify it like that. But you can see, you know, the artists will start talking about other artists and talk mm-hmm. about, you know, reference and the books that they were looking at
oh,
and
yeah.
things like that. And I would imagine that that's something that...
Well, that's just like all I think about
right.
24 hours a day. So of course I have to, you know, it's impossible to not talk mm-hmm. about it. But yeah.
That's actually really cool. So, you seem to be part of this like Midwest mm-hmm. Comics culture thing, and you know a lot of the guys from Chicago who are mm-hmm. you know in around comics and stuff like
right.
that. Did that sort of networking thing help you all out at all? Or
I mean, I wouldn't really say necessarily with Marvel. I mean, like I said, my story was. I basically went in the back door
right.
and then just never left. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And really, at Marvel, I've only worked for one editor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I've worked for two now. When I did the Sif one shot, I was mm-hmm. working for another editor. But really, I only know those editors.
Right.
And I know a lot of other artists and stuff, and I think that sometimes maybe your name can get brought up in conversation when they're talking to
right.
other people. But so...
It's just one of those
you
things.
It's
interesting how the industry works sometimes.
Yeah.
So I am curious. So I guess when you first came up, what was the stuff that you were reading? What were the thing? What were the, you know, who were the artists that you were like?
When I was first started reading. I didn't even start reading until I was like 15.
What was the first artist or so, I guess, then that, like, you were like, I know that, like, you knew that name?
Oh, Todd,
like,
McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane?
No question. I mean, even before I had read a comic, somebody came to school with a Spawn t-shirt on, and I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And that was kind of what led me to buy my first comic, which is also at the same point when I realized, oh my gosh, somebody gets paid to do those. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, from there it was Greg Capullo, because he did Spawn also, you know, and that's all I read for a couple years. And then after that, Image, and then it just slowly rolled into everything else.
And then is that, so did you start off trying to draw like those guys, or?
I think so. I wish I would have kept the stuff that I was doing, but I don't really know what I was trying to do. I think every time I drew a panel, I was probably trying to do something that somebody else did, and then... There's throughout all the work that I've done, I think that you can always kind of see what's influencing me at that moment. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. And then as you move on, like, is that the same kind of stuff that you really like now?
Well, I still really like Greg Capullo. I love it, and I still, you know, I still have a soft spot for McFarlane. And
I completely understand. Amazing Spider-Man 315 was my first book, and it was the same thing. I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't know they
There's
could
so
look like this.
There's so much energy and all that stuff. Yeah.
Why does he talk like he's from Brooklyn though? He lives in Arizona. He's from Canada. No, I'm sorry.
I don't have an answer.
I don't know.
But those guys, I still really gravitate towards things, art with a lot of energy in it, and a lot of, you know, somewhat cartoony, a lot of very expressive stuff.
Cartoony is one of those words that I've talked about artists a lot lately, and like, people don't like to use it, but they don't have a better word.
Well, I feel like there's two different types. Sometimes people say too cartoony, and I get it as like a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I feel like there's this type of too cartoony that's like, not based on, there's not enough structure underneath it, and then there's cartoony just in like the awesome way, you know. I would say like J. Scott Campbell or Art Adams is cartoony, or, you know, even Scotty is super cartoony, but there's so much, he's coming from a place of knowing so much about his craft that
it's funny, because cartoony, because like that to me isn't a negative thing anymore. The only time that it ever feels almost slightly appropriate is sometimes they'll choose somebody who has, I guess, a sort of a lighter, I want to say icon, not like, you know, like more representative than realistic style,
right,
on something that's really dark,
and
some fans think it doesn't work, you know. But like, if you look at something like Lock and Key,
right,
that's exactly what they've done there. It works really well.
Well, I feel like there can be the cartoony artist.
Mm-hmm.
That works on the dark stuff if they do it dark.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're just doing the light stuff on.
So how would you, I like asking, how would you describe your style at this point then?
Oh my gosh, this is,
the
this
artist,
is really
they
difficult.
Hate when I ask this.
Yeah, because I never know where I'm at. I mean, I really want to do, all I want to do is I want everything to feel like it moves. I want the characters to act. I don't want them to just stand there, you know. I want, when there's comedic moments, I want them to look and be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's, you know, sad moments, I want to be able to do that. And I just, I mean, that's really it. It's just,
what's the kind of thing that you tend to focus on a lot as you're going? Because I'll talk to a lot of artists, and they'll, you know, like, I'm totally focusing on storytelling all the time.
Right.
And there's acting, and there's the, like, what's the thing that is most important to you?
Oh, storytelling,
right.
Clarity of storytelling. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it when I pick up a book and the art is cluttered, because it makes me feel like I can't breathe when I'm reading it or something, you know, like it's just too much for me to handle, and I have to, like, you know, decipher like it's a code.
You do that thing where you go back, wait,
yeah,
I missed something. Why is that guy standing there?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want really well composed things. I want to know where my eye is supposed to be all the time. And I really want the characters. Right now, this is just a specific thing that I'm really on right now. Like on issue two of She-Hulk's, I just said there is going to be nobody just standing around. Every single person's going to be doing something, and it's not going to be like in your face acting, you know, like where they, you know, but you know, how rare is it that somebody just stands there with their arms crossed and has a full conversation, you know, the whole time, you know.
In an Avengers book? Well, yeah. I said that.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't like drawing that. Mm-hmm. I lose focus a lot if I don't have, like, a gesture or an emotion to focus on when I'm drawing it. Like, I'll start noodling at some drawing where a guy's just standing there, so I'm really focusing on the acting right now.
Is that like a thing where, like, if you're like an actor or an improv actor or something like that, they always tell you, you know, don't just do nothing. You have to do something with your hand, find a thing to do.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's like the I really started thinking about it, and it's not like I hadn't thought of it before, but I was watching. I've been watching Jaws like repeatedly lately. I don't know why. And
that's me. I don't know if. That's the finest film ever made.
I think I might agree with you.
Good enough.
And
I'm done here.
You know how, like, there's a scene early on where they're in the shed. What's the Quint? Is they could just be talking, but he's like walking around and he's doing
manically
all
doing things.
Yeah, throwing things to them and like
tie a sheep shank.
Yeah, exactly. And.
And he hands him, drink this cup. I don't drink it. Okay.
Yeah. And that's just what I want in my work because I feel like that is one of those things that they do in movies that keeps you from just like sitting there and saying, oh, they're just talking, you know, like it just gives you something to look at, even though it might be irrelevant, but it's kind of giving you a little bit of insight into his character.
Is that easier in a book that... Now, I don't know if She-Hulk's is like, a funny book or not.
It's got humor.
Right, because historically that character is sort of done in such a way that it's always been... So does that make it, I guess, more fun for you?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I don't think that I knew that was going to be something that I enjoyed so much going in, because I really hadn't done a whole lot of... I mean, it's. I wouldn't say it's, like, silly, but it's definitely... The characters are very, you know... They're funny, and they.
Well, in the same way, the Incredible Hercules is kind of a funny.
Oh
book.
Yeah.
I imagine that's going to be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, that was where I first I think started to get to play around with doing like comedic acting because I mean like in the Marvel Adventures books, there's comedy in them, but they're kind of it's less. Everything's there has to be so much that happens because they're self-contained that you don't get to really like have like a three-panel sequence of something funny happening. Whereas in Hercules, I got to do that, and I got to show him being, you know, because he's kind of slapstick, you know.
Yeah.
And I got to show him like really moving around and using space and everything. And that was where I started to realize that that was something I wanted to do. And then I just got lucky that this happens to have the same stuff.
So, and then I guess in the She-Hulk, so it plays a little bit into that sort of funny, sort of past stuff. But also, I mean, the stuff that was going on in Red Hulk and Hulk and all that.
Yeah, yeah, it all
pretty
ties
heavy.
In. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. there's like a the opening scene of issue 2. I mean, there's like a really dark, like almost like Hannibal Lecter type scene. You know, it gets dark and it covers everything, really, I feel like.
Okay. So, you've been comics all that long, I guess, but have you been reading comics sort of straight through for a long time or anything like that?
When I was in college, I didn't have enough money to read comics.
Okay, yeah. I read my roommates.
Yeah.
That's how I got back in.
Yeah, none of my friends really read them, so I didn't have any luck with that. I read, like, Daredevil Ninja because one of my friends picked up, like, a pack at the mall of comics, just random comics at the mall. But, so I was out of it for that period of time. But then when I finished college and I guess I didn't really have money, but I started reading them again somehow.
So I'm curious, like, what are the kinds of things that you'd like, what are the kind of characters that you really like to do going forward? Like, I know you're on this book for the foreseeable future, but is there anything like you just love to have a crack at a certain book or a character or something like
that? Well, I've learned through this, the She-Hulk's book that I really like drawing the Hulk himself, which I think that would lend itself well to what I like to do because of the movement and all that stuff. But I mean, I guess it's a little less humorous, but
kind of is.
Yeah.
When I was reading Red Hulk, I was like, this is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Whenever he just yells, Hulk is the strongest one there is, that's one of the funniest things in comics.
Yeah, they knew that they were being funny, I think, too, yeah. when they did it. But I really, the more that I think about it, if we can make She-Hulk a success, I'll do it for as long as I can, because it's right up my alley. I mean, I really like drawing women. I really like drawing, comedy. I like drawing the dark stuff, and since it has all that stuff, and it's got plenty of, fighting, which I love to draw, because that's, again, the motion and all that stuff, so.
This is weird, but one of the things that always comes up when you hear this, when you have female characters like that, there's this loaded topic that happens in comics, and it's the Power Girl topic, or is it cheesecake, or is it? Right. Do you think about stuff like that? You do, because you draw the sexy ladies.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'll embrace. I sometimes think that cheesecake. Sometimes I like the comedy cheesecake. Like, I like it to be silly and funny. But in She-Hulk's, I wouldn't say that I do that as much. It was like in Sif. Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't. I didn't want to play up sexuality really. Because I wanted her to be more like a warrior, and I wanted to just take her as the warrior character that she is. She-Hulk's, there'll be moments of, sexuality, but.
No butt shot for no reason?
Yeah, no, I won't do that. I won't do that, but,
But if you, like, do you think, does that, like, cross your mind? Something like, I just drew her ass there, and I don't know why.
I haven't done it yet.
Okay. I'm just curious, like.
Yeah,
because it's one of those things.
But I wouldn't shy away from it. I don't. Right. I don't have a problem with that. I think that they are strong, sexy female characters, and if that comes across, whatever.
Mm-hmm. that's totally fair.
But I don't really get the. Some people seem to think that means that the book has no substance, or other books in the past, when they do it, I think maybe when it's too over the top, it pulls them out of the story, which I understand.
Right.
And that's why I don't really do that type of stuff. But if something happens to be, sexy, who cares?
No, I think that's such a good way to look at it. If it's part of it, then that's fine. But if it's just sort of wedged there.
Yeah, I would never just throw it in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in sort of looking around at different artists and things like that, what kind of stuff are you really digging on lately?
Oh, well, I mean, I love anything that Olivier Coipel does.
Yeah, he got real good.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't bad to begin with, but it's somebody got real good, too.
Yeah, he just does some stuff. Every once in a while, artists will start doing things that you just think, I've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. And he's doing that right now. Sean Murphy is doing the same thing. Do you know Sean's work?
Joe the Barbarian, right? Yeah, yeah.
I like, everything that Scotty's been doing on Oz. Oh, I love Ultimate X, Arthur Adams. Well, so good to see him. he's just killing it. And that's off the top of my head.
So are you still seeing stuff? When you start seeing stuff like that, are you I can use that. I can.
Well,
and not steal, but you're seeing techniques and things that they do.
Yeah, I'm constantly learning new techniques from reading books. I mean, a lot of stuff, techniques. I'll read a lot of manga, and I get a lot of. Technique, storytelling technique, stuff from that, and then you can't help but absorb it when you're reading stuff. I really like Art Adams on is it called Ultimate Comics X? He's doing a really nice, straightforward storytelling style where I never wonder where I'm supposed to look in a panel, and I really appreciate that, and I think that has kind of translated into what I'm trying to do.
So you were recently signed as an exclusive to Marvel. So what does that mean?
Well, first of all, the shock of it for me, because really, as an outsider, when I wanted to be a comic book artist, I was like, that'll be awesome if I ever get to that point where they give me an exclusive deal. And the fact that I got one when I did and didn't expect it was one of the craziest surprises in my entire life, because...
Were you just it was a normal day, phone rings?
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I was at C2E2, and one of the, executives over at Marvel came up and he started talking to me, and he said, he didn't call it an exclusive, he just said, we want to give you a contract for a year, and so I was just like, Well, of course. Yeah, sure, of course.
I'm not doing anything. Yeah. It's
fine. And then, but in my head, I was just like, well, that's not an exclusive, because he would have said exclusive, and there's no way they're giving me an exclusive. And then I went and told Scotty about it, because he was at the show, and I was like, yeah, he said he's going to give me a contract for a year, and he's like, an exclusive? And I was like, no, no. And he's like, no, that's an exclusive. And so, but I guess what it means to me now is just that I have job security for the first time since I started drawing comic books, because really that can be really nerve-wracking. I mean, there was times where I was like, you know, even when I was been working for Marvel, I'm like, I don't know where my next job is coming from.
Now, and I don't mean in terms of specifics, but does it work so in such a way that, like, you know, you're going to get a certain number of pages?
It's a they guarantee you a certain number of issues if you can handle it.
Okay.
In whatever time frame.
Okay.
And my exclusive is, you know, for a year, so.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you feel like now you're through the door, you've made it? Are you in?
I feel pretty good for the first time, like, since I started, because, like, you just never know where you stand. Mm-hmm. But this meant to me, oh my gosh, there are actually people at Marvel that know I exist. You know, because before it's just like, hey, it was like, almost felt like, hey, we have an opening, and we just need somebody to do it, so just take it. And then it was like I did a couple things, and then I started getting, like, hearing things like having Jeff Loeb email me. He's like, oh, I talked to Joe Quesada, and he suggested you for this job and all that stuff. And I was just like, what?
Joe knows me.
Yeah. Like, he, what? And, yeah, so it, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I think that's all that I got. And you only have She-Hulk's coming up, so you don't have anything else you need to just plug. So then you're fine.
I have a project that I've been working on for, like, a year that for Marvel that won't be coming out until, I guess, I finish it. But they're giving me stuff in between, so who knows when that'll be.
And you can't tell us what that is. So
it's an online thing, yeah. That's all I can really say.
All right. All you comic people telling me about stuff you can't tell me about. All the time with you. Why? Oh, there's a... Oh, I can't say anything about that. It's not your
fault.
I
wish I could say more.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ryan. And we'll look forward to She-Hulk in November. She-Hulks.
Yep.
The one of the old... Not the John Byrne series.
Right.
That's different. Did you have to go back and reread that?
I didn't, but I made a mistake the other day because I hadn't.
Oh.
So I'm probably going to do that.
I think you should do that.
Yeah. I made a drawing mistake.
She talks to the camera, you know. You can start doing that a lot. Every panel. Looking right at you, the reader, through your soul.
I'll start suggesting that, or I'll just start doing it.
Yeah. I think that's a bad idea. Thanks to Ryan for talking to us. You can get She-Hulks in November, and you can follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Stegman. One word, very easy, and I highly recommend it, is what I'm telling you. Get over to iFanboy.com if you want to talk about this episode and see all the other cool stuff there. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you later.